The Old Testament lesson also serves as our sermon text this morning from Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and come down. Mountains then would quake because of your presence. As fire ignites stubble and as fire makes water boil, make your name known to your adversaries. Then nations would quake in your presence. You did amazing things that we did not expect. You came down. Mountains quaked because of your presence. From ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has understood, no eye has seen any God except you, who goes into action for the one who waits for him. You meet anyone who joyfully practices righteousness, who remembers you by walking in your ways. But you were angry because we sinned. We have remained in our sins for a long time. Can we still be saved? All of us have become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like a filthy cloth. All of us have withered like a leaf, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is no one who calls on your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. So you hid your face from us. You made us melt by the power of our guilt. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. All of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry, Lord, without limit. Do not remember our guilt forever. Please look closely. All of us are your people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord, turn our wailing into dancing. Remove our sackcloth and clothe us with joy, that our hearts may sing your praises and not be silent. Amen. It's normal for us to lament. What does lament sound like? It sounds like throwing your hands up and saying, "Ugh, man, that's the worst." Maybe it happened when you tried to order something on Black Friday and it was already sold out. No, why? It often happens with more important things. When you look at the state of the world or the state of your life or the state of your soul, you lament. Often Christians lament in very Advent-like ways. Advent means Jesus is coming, and something bad happens, and maybe you say it, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." It's normal for us to lament, but it's not normal for us to lament properly. And today, in Isaiah chapter 64, we're guided through what God shows us is a proper lament. A lament that doesn't just leave us frustrated with our hands up in the air, but a lament that leaves us at peace. And a proper Advent lament that leaves us in peace comes from a humble heart and from a hopeful heart. The Israelites in Isaiah chapter 64 had plenty of reasons to lament. If the promised land were the equivalent of Michigan, it was like they had only the Tri-City area left. The wicked, savage Assyrian Empire had invaded, destroyed the northern part of the kingdom, destroyed most of the southern kingdom. They pretty much only had Jerusalem left. And so they're looking around and saying, "God, do something." They said this, "Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and come down. Mountains then would quake because of your presence. As fire ignites stubble and as fire makes water boil, make your name known to your adversaries. Then nations would quake in your presence." You hear it there. It's basically, "Lord, come quickly." They say, "Lord, rip open the heavens," like that last Amazon package. "Rip it open and come down. Intervene." They say, "God, you could be like fire, and everything bad would be like stubble. Just burn it away. God, you can be like a stove, and you can make everything bad and all your enemies boil like water. Come on, Lord." They're crying out to him like this because he's done it before, and so they know he can do it again. God intervenes for his people. Most people in the world don't believe it. Most people don't see it. But they say, hey, we know you've done this before, like at the Exodus. They say, from ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has understood, no eye has seen any God except you, who goes into action for the one who waits for him. You meet anyone who joyfully practices righteousness, who remembers you by walking in your ways. Lord, we know you can do it. We know you've done it. So come on. Come and clean up this mess. What are you waiting for? What is God waiting for? In 2008, the not quite a hit movie, straight-to-DVD movie came out, Tinkerbell and the Lost Treasure. And in Tinkerbell and the Lost Treasure, this little fairy has a best friend named Terrence, and they get in a fight. They broke the magic staff that they needed to solve all their problems. And so they get in a fight, and they part from each other. They fly away from each other, and you follow Terrence as he flies away to this tree and lands on a branch next to an owl who can only say, "Who?" And Terrence starts his lament. "Ah! I know Tink and I are supposed to be best friends, but now we're fighting, and I feel like somebody needs to apologize." "Who?" "Well, I think Tink should apologize. She blamed me for breaking the staff. I didn't do anything wrong." "Who?" "Tink! She blamed me. It's her fault. She should apologize first." "Who?" "Me. I should apologize. Oh, thank you, Owl. You truly are the wisest of all the creatures." And then he flies away to go apologize to Tink. This is kind of like what happens to the Israelites during this lament. It's what God guides us to think during our laments, too. What happens in this text? They say, "God, we've got problems." "Who?" "Well, we do, and you can fix it." "Who?" "You can. You've done it before. You act for those who wait for you." "Who?" "Well, for those who wait for you. You go into action for them." "Who?" "Oh. You go into action for those who wait for you, who joyfully practice righteousness." "Oh. That's not really us, is it?" Where do they go next in their lament? They say, "God, everything's bad. You're not going into action. What's the problem?" They say, "You go into action for those who joyfully wait for you." And then it comes to an aha moment. "Oh, we haven't done that perfectly, have we?" What do they say next? "But you were angry because we sinned. We have remained in our sins for a long time. Can we still be saved?" And there, God has brought them to that humble heart in the middle of the lament that he's looking for. The Israelites could look and see why they were having such problems. They were in the old covenant. God said, "Do these things and I'll bless you. If you don't, bad things are coming." And they hadn't. As a nation, they had been faithless. And so God said, "Bad things are going to happen to you." Even part of Isaiah's job was to harden hearts, to say, "If you guys aren't going to listen, then I'm going to share God's word and you're going to keep not listening." This was a punishment from God. It says, "You were angry because we sinned," but another way to translate that is, "You were angry and so we sinned." They rejected God so many times that eventually God said, "Fine. You want to go away from me? You want to sin? Here you go. Do more. See where that takes you," so that they would learn. Now, we don't live in the old covenant, so this isn't exactly the same for us. It's not like when bad things happen in your life, you should try to figure out, "Why is God punishing me?" He's not. You're in the new covenant. Jesus was punished for you. It's not like karma. I do something bad, now God punishes me. But when life is difficult, when you need to lament to God, God still uses those things to lead you to a humble heart. To say, hey, I'm not perfect. I need your help. This is how we cry out. You think about it. You can lament something like the government. Oh, those crooked politicians. And maybe you're right. But you can still in that moment say, oh, and I'm not the perfect citizen. And I really haven't prayed for them as much as I should have. And it's not good that when they're wicked, it can bring out evil fruit in me instead of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and patience. So God, yeah, I lament too. I'm sorry. When difficulties in life happen, that's what we can do. We can lament from a humble heart. Just like Isaiah did. It wasn't the prophet Isaiah's fault that the promised land had been ravaged and destroyed. Right? He was sharing God's word. And yet he includes himself in this confession. And this is true for us too. We live in a mess. It's a messy world with sinful humanity. And when we lament, we include ourselves in that mess. We say, look, Lord, you got to clean me up too. And so we confess like this. All of us have become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like a filthy cloth. All of us have withered like a leaf, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is no one who calls on your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. So you hid your face from us. You made us melt by the power of our guilt. That's a proper Advent lament. All of us, Isaiah says, all of us are like a filthy cloth. Like someone unclean. Even the best things that we can do, it's like there's bloody fingerprints on it. All of our righteous acts, they're still not good enough to deserve anything from God. And so he laments and includes himself and he says, there's nobody who calls on you. But here's the irony and here's the hope in these words. He says, nobody's calling on you. And what is he doing? As those words are spoken, he's calling on God. And in the middle of our laments, this is what we do too. Lord, it's like nobody is asking for your help. And in that prayer, in those laments, what are we doing? People who are unclean with unclean hands, we are reaching those hands toward God. Because this lament doesn't just come from the humble heart, but it comes from a hopeful heart that knows God listens to people like us. This is what happens in Luke chapter 8. In the middle of Luke chapter 8, there's a story that really isn't known very well. It doesn't often come up in church services because of the details are a little uncomfortable. It's about a woman who has had a flow of blood for 12 years. And that kind of flow of blood in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, made you unclean. It meant you couldn't be around people. It meant you couldn't touch things. It especially meant that you couldn't come to God. You couldn't come worship him at the temple. So imagine the depths she's in. Her life has effectively been ruined for 12 years. It says she spent everything she had on doctors. Nothing helped. She's in a very humble situation. Not her fault, just living in a sinful world. And what happens in Luke chapter 8? Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee and he's instantly surrounded by a big crowd of people. They're pressing against him. They want to see something big. They want to see something miraculous. Oh, Lord, come down. Show us something like lightning. But none of them see anything. But what happens in the middle of that crowd around Jesus? Something happens. Jesus turns and he says, "Who touched me?" And Peter says, "Lord, everyone's touching you. There's a whole crowd around you pressing against you." And he says, "No, no, 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 no. Somebody took hold of me. Power went out from me. Jesus knows, of course, but he's saying this for their benefit. And what happens? When the woman saw she could not escape his notice, she came trembling and fell down before Jesus. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This huge crowd of people around Jesus, and none of them see God acting. All of them are wondering, when is Jesus going to do something amazing? And in the middle of that, what did she see? That God had come down. That God was right there, just for her. And when she reached out in faith, from a humble heart, but a hopeful heart, if I just touch him, she was healed. This is what we do in the middle of our laments. It's like there's a whole crowd of things going on around Jesus, and you don't see big, glorious, miraculous things. But where are we? It's like we're down in the dust, crawling towards Jesus, reaching out with our unclean hands, thinking, if I just touch him, and when we reach out to him in faith, we are healed. Jesus cleans us. We reach out in hope. And what do we see? We see what she saw. She could not escape his notice. There, down in the depths, you find that Jesus has come down. As one person put it, you don't have to pray for lightning in your life when you're already in the light. I saw this with a friend of mine this last week. Longtime friend. I knew he had been having marriage trouble. Good Christian man. And he shared with me this last week that his wife had finally left him. She said she's done. And he hadn't done anything wrong to break the marriage. He hadn't committed adultery or anything like that. He's a good Christian man. Now, she left him because she was sick of God, and so she was sick of him. And so he's lamenting. But he's lamenting with such a humble heart. He's saying, no, I didn't do anything wrong, you know, to break this marriage, to deserve this or anything. But he says, but I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. I know I wasn't the perfect husband. But as he laments with that humble heart, what did he also say? I saw such hope, he said, but I know God's love. I know God hasn't rejected me. And he looked at us, fellow Christians, and he said, and you guys, you're still talking to me. You still love me. And he said, and I know the love of God, so I don't know whether she's ever going to come back, but I'm still going to love her because love is patient, love is kind. Love always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. What a lament from a humble situation, but with a hopeful heart that looks to God and says, I still trust you, that you're here with me, down in the depths, working for me. That's what Isaiah says in this lament. That's what we say with him. He says, but now, Lord, after all this, after all the difficulty in my life, but now, Lord, you are our Father. Just like Jesus spoke to that woman, daughter. Just like we pray in the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. But now, Lord, no matter what happens, I know you are our Father. And you're at work, maybe not in crazy, powerful ways that we want to see, but in humble ways. It says, we are the clay, you are the potter. All of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry, Lord, without limit. Do not remember our guilt forever. Please look closely. All of us are your people. All of us are your people. This is a beautiful, a proper Advent lament. A lament that says, yes, come quickly, Lord Jesus, in the end, in glory. We are looking forward to that, but we also pray for that now. Lord, come quickly in humble ways, like a humble king riding in on a donkey, like a pastor sharing words with baptism and bread and wine, like Christian friends sharing the word of God with you. Lord, come in those ways too. And as you pray that prayer from your humble and hopeful heart, what will you always see? That he does. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly now in my life. He is. And he always will. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.